Jaquetta Williams with you here on Your Health Connection. We are back. We're talking to Eric Dunlap, who's a 13-year breast cancer survivor. He's a man. Yes, he is. And we're talking to Dr. Leslie Holmes, who is our doctor and our specialist for this evening. And I wanted to come back to you, Eric, because I know we mentioned that you go across the country talking about breast cancer in men. Mm-hmm. And I know you have a full story if people want to have the opportunity to read that or check you out. How do they do that?
I actually have a website. I started a website a few years ago because there were a lot of questions that were coming up, and I wanted people to be able to, at their leisure, take a look at the story. Some guys may look at it when they're by themselves and want to see exactly what I went through. And also for other speaking engagements as well, I wanted to make sure that people had access. I'll give that website out, and that is Dunlap Speaks, and that's DunlapSpeaks.com. And my story is presented there, and I hope that people can get some reasons to go ahead and just get a checkup.
All right, let's go to our line one again. Suzanne, we have you back from Atlanta. What's your question, Suzanne?
Yes, good afternoon to you both, all three of you, and continued blessings to you, Ms. Williams, and Mr. Dunlap.
Thank you.
On your,
survivorship.
Survivorship.
And thank you.
My question is, when you spoke about men getting a mammogram, I was wondering the mechanics of that. The tissue is not there.
I asked that same question of the doctor. How do you pull and squish and get it? Doctor, and you responded to that. Go ahead and tell us.
It's just like it is for a woman. They have to pull and tug and get that breast tissue in there. They need to see the chest wall muscle underneath to note if there's any masses there associated with that chest wall muscle or any lymph nodes there. So it is mighty uncomfortable to go between those plates on a yearly or biannual basis. But you have to remember, it's only once a year that a man will have to go, or a woman will have to go, to get this squeeze technique, as we call it, these mammograms. And that uncomfortableness is worth it in order to save your life.
Eric, let me ask you too. Did your sister ever have breast cancer, or was it specifically just you?
Me. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and thank goodness and thank God that neither one of them has had to endure this.
And how difficult is your mammogram, Eric?
Well, it can be a little challenging at times because, again, the male breast tissue is not there. We have more muscle mass, so we have to really get them to go.
Pull,
they go in
tug,
close. Yes, they push
pull,
the me into the machine.
Squeeze.
And when I go back to the office, sometimes I feel like I've been punched in the chest a little
Welcome
bit.
Welcome to the club. Let's go to line four. We have Spencer from Roswell. Spencer has a question. How you doing, Spencer?
Hey there, I'm doing great. Good evening, by the way.
Good evening.
My question was relative to whether or not, I don't know, in recent years or decades, I feel like there's a lot more, cell phone towers and radio waves and satellite waves and things like that people are just bombarded with. I wanted to see if there's any correlation between cancer rates and, the part of the country or, what city you live in and things like that. In concert with your diet, and if any kind of study along those lines have been done.
In regard to breast cancer, there has not been that correlation. There has been that correlation with toxic waste from specific areas in landfills that had toxic waste underneath, and then what happened was they developed a whole neighborhood on top of those toxic waste areas, and there has been associated with that a lot of leukemias and lymphomas, and that can happen in certain parts of the country, and that's been clearly documented. But in regard to breast cancer, that has not been the case with the radio waves and things like that.
Let's go to line five, where we have Joe from Norcross, who has a question for us. Hey, Joe.
Good afternoon. My question is, I recently felt like a slight pain in my left chest and felt like a little lump, and it lasts like a few days. The thing is, I have a 20-plus year career field in the environmental hazmat background, and actually the previous caller where you referred to the landfills and things of that nature. I've actually used to do work like that, including working for the U.S. Department of Energy around multiple known, even unknown sources of radiation, man-made and natural. Is this something that I should be concerned about and probably go ahead and be on the safe side and get a mammogram? Because I don't have any family history. None of my family has ever had cancer. I just turned 38 years old.
Absolutely.
I would agree. I would definitely follow up with your primary care physician. Tell them about your exposure and get a physical and a history. Take the family history and have the guidance of your primary care physician. And just in general, if you were exposed to radiation exposure as a child, maybe you were diagnosed with a lymphoma and you had chest irradiation and that behalf, that puts you at increased risk of developing a breast cancer. And also another occupation we were talking about, exposure to the environment, working in very, very hot environments, for instance, steel mills for men, it's a very hot environment and that may affect their testicles and the hormones that they produce. And it decreases their androgen level, which then allows for their estrogen level to be increased, which may put them at unopposed estrogen, which may put them at risk of developing breast cancer.
Let's go to line two. We have Gary from Villa Rica who has a question. Gary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just curious. I have a keloid on my chest, and I was just wondering if there's any relation between keloid and cancer. It makes it difficult to, you know, detect around it.
No. As far as I know, there's been no relationship between the development of a keloid and breast cancer. But radiation therapy can be used postoperatively. If the keloid is in a position where it's bothering you, that can be removed by surgery, and then you get a very light dose of radiation to help reduce the chance. So radiation does have a good point in relationship to treating things.
Eric, let's talk about really quickly, because I know you've already touched on, you know, being a man and having breast cancer. Mm-hmm. When you were first diagnosed, did you feel a certain way about that, or were you just ready to get it out and move forward, or did you have to deal with it emotionally as well, being a man?
Yeah, that emotional part is there, whether you're a male or female, and I really determined I needed to do something. I needed to tell somebody about it because I didn't want anyone to go and you suffer in silence, so to speak. And I felt, you know, at first it was awkward. And every time if you told someone, especially the guy, they would look at you as if, how in the world does this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, almost as if you asked for it or something. And so I'd explain to them that, you know, hey, I was working out. And I would suggest everybody continue working out, because had I not been working out, and I'll just explain something very quickly. And that is, when I did a lot of the push-ups, and the doctor alluded to this as well, my doctor explained it this way. I did so many push-ups in such a short window of time that my chest muscle expanded so rapidly that it pressed against the tumor, and that tumor pressed against the nerve. Had that occurrence not happened in that sequence, I would not have known I had a lump. And had I not known I had a lump, I wouldn't have gone to the doctor. So if anyone has a question about whether or not they should go to the doctor, the answer is an absolute yes. Start there. And then I'm going to go one step further. If you go to the doctor and your symptoms persist and you're not getting the information from that physician that you feel comfortable with, get a second opinion.
Did you get a second opinion when you were diagnosed?
When I was diagnosed, I was hoping that the doctor was wrong.
Hmm.
I was praying that the doctor was wrong and sought a second diagnosis from the doctor who had diagnosed my mother previously. And she was a little surprised, but confirmed immediately that I had breast cancer.
Doctor, the cases that you've treated or that you've seen in men, were all of those men children of women who were breast cancer survivors, or were they all different?
No, they were not.
None of them were?
No. Like I said,
They made the history for their family.
They made the history for their family.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Right.
That's stunning.
Again, most cancers are sporadic. They just occur.
My goodness. That's good information to know. And the one thing I think that's so important about this, I remember when I was being treated and I heard my doctor say, and it was like the light bulb went off in my head, if you have breasts, which is all of us, men and women, men like to call them pecs or, right, you know, your chest, but you have breasts, then you are susceptible to breast cancer. So that means no one's safe. The whole issue of no family history and being a man and all of these other factors that we'd like to think are out of the window now. So bottom line is you just have to be proactive about your health and checking yourself. Before we go, doctor, I'm going to let you have any parting words and then Eric, and then I'll wrap it up.
I just encourage everyone to live a healthy lifestyle and really and truly take an active role within your health. Learn your family history so that you can, that can contribute to your well-being, and exercise and eat right and do all the screening tests that are available to one to help you diagnose with cancer. And just remember ultimately that the way to treat cancer and have the best outcome is to find it in its most earliest stage.
So if he had found when his nipple was bleeding the first time around and he had gone to the doctor and found out that it was cancer, then would his treatment probably have been different? Because by then it probably wouldn't have spread to the lymph nodes. And
More than likely, he would have still had a mastectomy, and then he might, I don't know if he had an axillary lymph node dissection or just a sampling of the lymph nodes.
Sentinel lymph node. Yeah.
And, you know, mainly that is the mainstay of treatment, mm-hmm, surgery, which would be a mastectomy. And depending on what they found, they would do a sentinel lymph node biopsy,
right,
or a completion axillary lymph node dissection. A sentinel lymph node biopsy is where they take radioactive dye, right, and inject it into the area where the tumor is, and they look for what we call the sentinel lymph node, which is the absolute first lymph node. They take that out and they evaluate it. And if it's negative, then more than likely disease didn't spread to others. But if it is positive, then sometimes they go and they do a completion axillary lymph node dissection, mm-hmm, where they take out more of a sampling of lymph nodes.
Did you have lymphedema?
I didn't have lymphedema. I was fortunate and didn't have that. I did notice that a lot of the folks who did radiation experienced more lymphedema than the ones that did chemo. And the doctor is 100% accurate with the different types of the biopsies and the lymph node removal. And unfortunately, mine were positive. And mm-hmm, so when they found the positive ones, they said, well, we need to go further. And that's why the 6 months of chemo.
I was grateful mine were negative, but mm-hmm, I still had to undergo chemo and radiation and surgery. I had a lumpectomy as well. Let me ask you too, mm-hmm, Eric, because I think one of the things that women are always so fearful of is hearing the words, you have cancer. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, always being fearful within that first, 3 months, 6 months of all the going back and the triple checks, right, and checking. I know I was always paralyzed by fear of them, mm-hmm, telling me it returned, or it returned in my, you know, my other breast. Was it the same feeling for you? Were you always afraid?
Well, you know, there was some fear there. I couldn't deny that you were concerned each time you went to the doctor. After my treatment of the chemo, I was on a medicine called tamoxifen. And that was to prevent me from getting a reoccurrence of the cancer. And that medicine was taken for 5 years. After 5 years, it will not work. At least that's what the studies were showing,
right,
at that time. And it caused other side effects that I wasn't
weight
prepared
gain
for.
Weight gain.
And what's called a hot flash. I didn't know what in the world a hot flash was.
You got hot flashes too.
And I thought something was going on. I said, I feel like I'm sitting in an oven. And I couldn't, and I was sitting still. So when I started sweating while I was sitting still, mm-hmm, I called the doctor and said, I don't know what's in this medicine or what's going on with me, but I'm on fire.
I'm not laughing, but it's so good to hear a man be able to go through what we ladies have to go through.
And I said, I don't want any part of this hot stuff. You know, I want to be in a cool room. And,
right.
You know, I need to wear a t-shirt to work every day instead.
Right.
But you go through those processes and you get through them. And it's just part of the healing.
Well, we are so glad that you've been so open about that, because I know I could time my hot flashes. I would have them every 15 minutes, and it would be like somebody just lit a match up under me and blew me up every 15 minutes. Thank God they're gone now, so I'm very, very grateful. And so I want to say a special thank you to all of the people who called in asking your questions. You had some amazing questions, and we do appreciate you. Thank you so much. And we hope that we were informative for you. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Leslie Holmes, who is the medical director of Radiotherapy Clinics of Georgia in Rockdale, the Rockdale County Radiation Therapy Center in Conyers, Georgia. So if you are in that area, say hello to her. And thank you again to Eric Dunlap. Of course, his website, dunlapspeaks.com, if you want to hear his or read his full story, or if you want to book him to talk where you are. And then thank you for letting me be your host, Jaquetta Williams, for Your Health Connection. And of course, I'll see you next time. You can always find me on Twitter at Jaquetta W at or at CCRTD. Thanks again for listening. Have a good evening.
You've been listening to Your Health Connection. This program is made possible by funding from the National Institutes of Health and the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. For more information, please call 404-880-6878 or go to www.ccrtd.cau.edu. If you would like to listen to this show on demand, just go to wcok.com and click on the Your Health Connection page. For Jaquetta Williams and producers Dr. Kimberly Davis and Rob Maynard, this is Jamal Ahmed. Thanks for listening to Your Health Connection.